You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. And this episode is being released on August 19th, 2021. This week's episode is going to be a follow-up to a discussion that we had a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we talked about a story that described how Americans' confidence in church had dropped to a near historic low. And related to that, that article also mentioned that trust in so-called pastors was following the same trajectory. And we talked about what that meant regarding our efforts to reach others with the gospel. Well, last week I had a discussion with a friend about how this relates to our concept of the role of a preacher in the local church. And he brought up some good points, and we both thought it would be good to discuss this in a follow-up episode here. Now, if I were better at running a podcast, I would have had him on with me to talk about this, and we could both discuss this together. But until I get that type of thing figured out, I'm not that far along here yet, even though I've been recording podcast episodes for a while now. Certain things I haven't learned yet, and that's one of them. So it's just going to be me on here today, like you're used to. But hopefully we'll have a good discussion on here anyway about the role of the preacher in the church today. And thank you to my good friend Christopher Gardana for the idea for this episode. I know he's going to be listening to this, and so I wanted to mention him and thank him for this. For links to the materials that are related to the discussion that we're going to be having today, you can check out the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/081921. So now for our discussion for this week. Going back to the original story that prompted this discussion, the one from 2 weeks ago, the story was titled, "Americans' Confidence in Church Drops to Near Historic Low." One quote from that article said, from 2019 to 2020, Americans who expressed confidence in the church as an institution grew from 36% to 42%. However, that number dropped back down to 37% in 2021. So as we talked about then, this means almost two-thirds of Americans don't have much or any confidence in the so-called church. And here's the related stat that is going to be key to our discussion today. Quote from the article, it says, "The trajectory of confidence in the church as an institution mirrors the decline of trust in pastors according to Gallup's annual rating of professions. In 2018, pastors reached their lowest mark at 37% who say ministers have high or very high honesty. In 2019, that climbed back up to 40%. Before dipping back down to 39% in 2020. And as I mentioned in the previous episode on this topic, this study was about so-called pastors, but I don't want us to get caught up in that term and the misuse of that term in the religious world as a whole. This is relevant to us, even if we wouldn't use the term the same way that the religious world does, because the concept that people have of pastors is very much like the role of a preacher in the New Testament. So public perception of so-called pastors will also be the perception of preachers, generally speaking. And one of the takeaways from this that we discussed 2 weeks ago was this point. Don't think that it's the preacher's job to reach the lost. Why did I say that? And if that's true, whose job is it to reach the lost? And what is the role of the preacher if not to reach the lost? We're going to talk about those questions in today's episode. And again, as a disclaimer, the same one that I tried to emphasize in the last episode on this topic, I am not going to argue that a preacher should not be trying to reach the lost. But I do think we need to reevaluate our concept of the preacher's work in relation to the local church. And these statistics that we've talked about are just a reminder of why this is important, that we need to rethink this. First, we need to establish what is the common concept that brethren have of the preacher's role, whether this is spoken or unspoken. What is the preacher's job? If you ask various Christians that question, you may get some different answers, but most will probably include the publicly visible works of preaching sermons when the church assembles on Sundays, teaching Bible classes, things like that, and another so-called duty of the preacher that many will list if they put together a list like that would be reaching the lost. And as I mentioned in the episode 2 weeks ago, the preacher does need to do this, but it's not because he's a preacher. It's because he's a Christian. All Christians have a responsibility to try to reach the lost. And the reason why this is an important distinction to make is because this concept that it's the preacher's job to reach the lost can hinder growth in congregation. Well, how does it do that? Well, there's 6 ways that this happens. Number one, no preacher, no matter how diligent he is and how good he is at reaching the lost, he will never be able to reach everyone that could potentially be reached by that congregation. Second reason is that when there are fewer people involved in the work of evangelism, then there are fewer souls who are going to be reached. That's just a simple, common sense. We could think about this as a math equation. As you have this many people doing this, how many people can they reach? If you have fewer people involved in the work of evangelism, fewer souls are going to be reached. Third point is that when all of the responsibility for evangelism falls on the preacher, then if he's going to try to carry that out, he's also going to have less time to fulfill his other responsibilities, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit as we get into the episode. Fourth reason why this hinders growth, having this concept of it's the preacher's job. Fourth reason this hinders growth is that when the preacher is the only one involved in the work of evangelism, even though others could be involved, but they're not, he's the only one involved, that can get very discouraging very quickly. You think about Elijah in 1 Kings 19, where he was thinking that he was the only one left who was serving God. He was praying to God, says, I alone am left. He was asking the Lord, Lord, take my life. I'm the only one left. That he didn't want to do it anymore. He did all that he thought he could do, and he was discouraged. He was burned out. That's what happens when you have one person who believes he's the only one fulfilling this work. Same type of thing can happen today. Fifth reason is that when the preacher moves on, and sometimes preachers do move on. I don't have experience with this. I've been with my congregation where I'm at for 16 years now, but occasionally preachers do move, and some more than others. But if you have the concept that the preacher's job is that he's the one who's supposed to reach the lost, well, what happens when he moves? What happens when the preacher's not there anymore? What happens when a congregation is in between preachers or without a preacher for a time? There's no one to do the work of evangelism, which leads to the sixth point, that in the meantime, while they don't have a located preacher, the congregation's work of evangelism is basically on hold until they can find the right man to agree to come in and to be their preacher, and then they can just throw all this responsibility back on him. The congregation is supposed to be doing the work of evangelism, whether there's a located preacher or not. But when we have the concept that, well, it's the preacher's job to do this, then we think, well, if we don't have a preacher, then, well, we can't do that. So these are reasons why, if we have this concept that it's the preacher's job to do this, that can hinder growth in the congregation. And I think the right reason why this concept has become so common, that it's the preacher's job, the reason why we just, many brethren just instinctively think that, is because I think we failed to distinguish how the New Testament describes the work of a preacher in a place where there is no church or a new church compared with a place where there is an established church. Those are two different circumstances, and we read about both of them in the New Testament. Throughout the book of Acts, we read of men like Paul who traveled from place to place where the gospel had not yet been preached, or where there was a new congregation in a particular city. And so you have Paul spending much of his time teaching those who were not yet Christians, because in many places he went, there were no Christians, at least initially. And so, obviously, he's going to be teaching people who are not Christians. And as he traveled, he usually worked with another preacher, whether Barnabas or Silas. He worked with Timothy. Luke traveled with him at different times. And they did the work of evangelism together. And many think of the work of a located preacher as being like that, where they're like Paul, where they're in this location and they're just completely devoted to teaching the lost, or that's the bulk of their work. And they even have this concept that you have people who are working together. And there's a lot of benefits to doing this when you have no church in the area or a new church in the area that's not really established yet. There's a lot of benefits to doing that, and that's why we read about it in the book of Acts. But there's a difference between that and when a congregation is established. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But I just remember in my own life and teaching and preaching where I am, there's a preacher in a nearby church here a few years ago who wanted the two of us, me and him, to work together like preachers did in the early church. He had this concept that, well, they went out two by two, then the two of us can go and do things. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but it's not the best way to do it. We'll talk about that more here in just a minute. But that was the concept that he had. That's the concept that many people have about what the local preacher is, that he's like Paul, going and going around and doing all these things that Paul did. Well, there's another type of congregation that we read about in the New Testament, and that is one that is more of an established church, one that is not brand new, one that you have people who had obeyed the gospel, now they're meeting together, they're coming together. And in the letters to Timothy and Titus, we see Paul's instruction to those two evangelists who are laboring with established congregations. These were not brand new Christians. They were churches that could have even had elders, because Paul gave qualifications for elders to both of those men. And one of those qualifications clearly specifies in 1 Timothy 3 that he cannot be a novice if he's going to serve as an elder. So these congregations were not brand new. They would have been around for a while, where you have Christians there in those congregations who are capable of being involved in the work of the church. So these three letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, were about teaching and working with Christians in the local church. And as I mentioned in that episode 2 weeks ago, you read through those letters, and there is, in everything it talks about, in outlining the preacher's work, there is no mention of them teaching the lost. And that might sound strange, that might sound shocking, but the reason for that is because it was a different type of circumstance than what Paul was doing, where he was going to places where there was no church or there was a brand new congregation. Timothy and Titus were not in that type of situation, so they were teaching Christians and working with Christians in the local church. And so Paul didn't mention them teaching the lost. Again, that doesn't mean they didn't do that. But the fact that it is completely absent from these three letters that provide a comprehensive description of the work of a preacher, particularly one who is working with an established local church, the fact that that's absent is very significant. I don't think we need to overlook that point. So comparing the work of Paul in the book of Acts with the work of Timothy and Titus, there is a difference depending on whether the preacher is working where there is no church or a new church, or if they are working where there is an established church with members who are able to be involved in the work. After all, Paul wrote to Timothy about how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3:15. That's the focus of the letter. So going back to what we mentioned earlier, well, if it's not the preacher's job to teach the lost, then what is the preacher's job? What is his responsibility? If he's working with an established church, what is his responsibility? He does teach the lost as a Christian, but what's his responsibility as a preacher? Well, we can go through those letters in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus and see what his responsibilities are. And we'll just go through these quickly because we could spend a lot of time on this. But I just want us to just be reminded of what these passages say, what these letters say. What was their responsibility? What is the preacher's role when you have a church that is established, that has members that are capable of being involved in the work, in the spiritual work of the church? Number one, 1 Timothy 1:3, instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. These are ones who have been in the church, who were teaching things they should not teach. Instruct them not to teach those things. Number two, 1 Timothy 4:6 says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. In 1 Timothy 4:11, Paul said, prescribe and teach these things. Teach them to who? Teach them to the brethren, as he said in verse 6. He made that same point in chapter 5 and verse 7, chapter 6 and verse 2. Prescribe and teach these things regarding a Christian's conduct. Number 4, in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, show yourself an example of the believers, or of those who believe, that you are an example to them, how they are to act. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. You are teaching the brethren. Pay attention to that. In 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, he tells Timothy to appeal to older men as a father, to younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. He's not writing about those who are non-Christians. That family relationship there that he's describing is the relationship that they had in the church. And so you are teaching them, appealing to them, encouraging them. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:20 to rebuke elders who sin in the presence of all. In 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, he says, instruct those who are rich. And the context is not about instruct those who are rich to obey the gospel, because these are ones who had already obeyed the gospel. So he was to instruct them to conduct themselves as Christians ought to, using the blessings that God had given them. In the second letter to Timothy, he said in chapter 2 and verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who was Timothy teaching there? Christians. Faithful men. It says in 2 Timothy 2:14, remind them of these things. Remind who? Those who are Christians. You're reminding them. You're not teaching them for the first time. In chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. In verse 5, it says, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. He was to do this because of the fact that Paul described the change in attitude towards sound doctrine in verse 3 and 4, that they will no longer endure sound doctrine. He's not writing about the attitude of the world that is already, non-receptive, saying here were ones who used to listen. They used to be receptive, but now they don't want to hear it anymore. You continue to preach the word. You do the work of an evangelist. Titus was told in Titus 1 and verse 5 to appoint elders in every city. That's work in the church. In Titus 2, 1, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And then Paul went on to describe the responsibilities that different ones had as Christians. And Titus was to teach them those responsibilities. Titus 2, 15 says, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. What things is he talking about there? Well, it's the same context. Their responsibilities as Christians. Titus 3, 1, remind them. Again, the same thought as 1 Timothy 4, 6. That you are to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. So again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I don't believe that a preacher should never teach the lost. However, we do need to recognize that all of us are to be involved in this work. And the more of us who are involved and the more we work together within our local churches, the better we will be able to carry out the work of evangelism. So to those of you listening who are not preachers, I want to encourage you to be looking for ways that you can be involved in the work of reaching the lost. This is not just the preacher's job. And remember those statistics that we talked about. A lot of people in the world don't trust a preacher or pastor or whatever they refer to them as. They don't trust them anyway. And so this is a job for all of us. Remember that among your circle of contacts, your family, your friends, your coworkers, and all the people that you're close to, no one has more influence on them than you. So there may be times where you need help from a preacher or elders or other more mature Christians, and that's good and fine to get help when you need help. But don't think of it as someone else's job and not your job. And now to those of you who are preachers, make sure you are involved in the work of reaching the lost, more than just the preaching that you do on Sunday. But also, if you're working with an established church, remember your responsibility to help develop others to be involved in that work. We notice 2 Timothy 2:2, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's a responsibility that preachers have, to teach people and help people to develop in such a way that they can teach others also. Paul also explained in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 that the roles of evangelists and pastors and teachers were for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. If you, as a preacher, want to go door knocking, you want to start a community Bible study, you want to have a booth set up at the county fair or some other evangelistic effort, whatever it might be, whatever you think would work in your community, you want to be involved in that. It might be easier to call upon a nearby preacher to help you, but it would be better and more along the lines of your role as a preacher in a local church to call upon members of that local congregation where you're laboring and get them involved in the work. There are too many brethren, as it is, who believe that it is exclusively the work of the preacher to evangelize. We don't need to perpetuate that misconception by not involving other members when we could involve them and help develop them to be able to do the work, whether we're still with that congregation or not. So those are just some things that I wanted us to consider here today. You can check out the show notes for this episode where there will be more on this topic. There was a podcast episode from back in January that I mentioned in the episode 2 weeks ago that will be linked there that was related to this, and also the podcast from 2 weeks ago about Americans' confidence in church, how that has been dropping and the trust of pastors has been dropping. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. That episode will be linked in the show notes. And also there's an article that I wrote a few years ago on the preacher's work that kind of touches on this as well. But that's all for this week. I want to thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful and informative and hopefully beneficial to help your congregation and also you personally be more involved in the work of spreading the gospel and trying to reach the lost. For links to the stories that we talked about, the other links that we mentioned, you can visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/081921. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe to the podcast there, and you can rate that there if you feel inclined to do that. If you know of others who'd be interested in this episode in particular, or who may be interested in the podcast itself, please share this with them. I would appreciate that. And if you see a news story or something that's going on that you think that would be a good idea to talk about, it would make for a good discussion here, please email the link to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.